Let me go over just a few announcements with you before we get started. Brother Kenny and those going to Maggie's Jungle Golf will leave following the 10 a.m. service today. Parents are welcome to join the fun too. A picnic lunch will be provided for everyone, and the church will cover the cost of one round of mini golf for each child. Please see Brother Kenny if you have any questions. He's back there in the children's department. Camp Mac registration forms are available at the welcome desk. Completed forms fees must be turned in to the UBA office no later than July the 2nd. That's right around the corner. So make sure you get those forms filled out and the fees and turned in. Wednesday, July the 3rd at 5:30 p.m., we're going to have a fish fry fellowship. A fish fry fellowship, and that is Wednesday, July the 3rd. And that day is just going to be, that evening is just going to be a fellowship. Get to know each other, meet, greet, have some fish and hush puppies. And you bring the sides and desserts, and we're going to have a good old time, a good old fellowship. I don't know. Caleb, you like fish? Okay, I thought so. You're in the South. You like fish. But anyway, VBS meeting Sunday, June the 3rd at 4:15 p.m. This meeting is for anyone who has signed up to help with VBS or who is thinking about helping with VBS. Please make every effort to attend. Also, register your kids for VBS and invite friends and family as well for this to make it a great, great vacation Bible school. We're going to be in Romans 16 today, just so that you know, so that you can be there. I hope this morning to challenge you in every way. I want to stretch you in your walk with the Lord. So I know right now you're thinking, right? So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the buzz, the laughter, the talking, the family of God coming together to worship you this morning. And Father, we know that you are moving in ways that we can't even fathom or imagine, Lord. And Father, we're just on the side of the mountain, and we can only see what's a little bit in front of us. But Lord, we know that you're on top of the mountain, and you can see both sides. And Lord, help us to have a stronger faith. Help us to trust you more in our walk with you. And Lord, we're excited this morning to be able to open up in song. And Lord, just not any songs. It is songs that glorify you and worship you and uplift you, Father. You and you alone are truly of our worship and praise. And Father, as we open up to Romans 16, Lord, we ask that not only do we open up the Word of God, but you open up our heart, our minds to be able to see and understand what you want us to do and how you want us to live and how we are to glorify you. So, Father, again, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, before we open, close in prayer, open in song, right? There we go. Hey, I want to thank all of you who helped in the cleanup and making everything look so nice. I know it was absolutely hot outside, but it looks great. So thank you from the church for all that you've done. So it looks awesome. All right, Aaron, open us up, brother.
All right, everyone, let's go ahead and stand. Before we sing, we're going to read from Psalm 24. The theme, the common thread running through all of these songs this morning is that Christ is King. And He's not just a King, but He is the King of Kings. This is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He is the one we are going to lift up our voices and sing to this morning. Let's sing that together. This is King of Glory. Who is this King of glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with each hearing of his softly spoken words? My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of glory who offers it to me? Who is this King of angels? Oh, blessed Prince of Peace, revealing things of heaven and all its mysteries. My spirit's ever longing for his grace in which to stand. Who is this King of glory, Son of God and Son of Man? His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, the Lord Almighty, King of my heart, the King of glory. This King of glory, with strength and majesty, and wisdom beyond measure, the gracious King of peace, the Lord of earth and heaven, the Creator. To him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come away. Fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father.
Praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not need, shall not think. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the
be seated. If we can have some ushers now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. Right there's the cleanup hitter. Yeah, you're good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Caleb, would you bless?
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you all giving me birthday morning. Thank you for the ones watching online. Lord,
yes.
Lord, that you open up our minds, our hearts, Lord, to do it. Prayer and to say, speak through him. Let us learn something. Finish Romans. Just to use this offering to build your kingdom and build this church.
Amen. Amen.
He promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a prince of peace. Promised us that he would be our father, and he would love us with a love that would not cease. Well, I tried him, and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just what Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he promised, and so much more, more than a when I think the King of Glory could come to live within the heart of a man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. Just when I think of who he is and who I am, he's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul
appreciate that song. It's been a long time since I've heard that and reminded of how much I love it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. As we finish out the book of Romans, we started back in October. I didn't do what James Montgomery Boyce did and took 13 years to preach through the book of Romans. It's just been some months. I'm not as in-depth as James Montgomery Boyce, okay? But I want to say a few things before we get started in Romans 16 as we finish this book out. I want you to imagine something for a moment. It's really going to be hard to fathom and hard to imagine, but I want you to imagine a church without women. I want you to imagine a home without a woman. You know, you see, when you think about that, a lot of times, most of the time, the women are the glue that keeps everything going. And a lot of times, you know, they are flying in under the radar more than anything else. And I just want to say this morning, I want to thank you women for all you do in the church, for all you do at home, and for all you do anywhere and everywhere you go. You are such a great helpmate, a partner, friend, and companion. I can't imagine my home without my wife. And I know that Caleb can't imagine his home without his wife. And I know that you can as well. And so I want to say that. And the reason I say that is because Paul is finishing his letter. Paul is finishing this very important book called the Book of Romans. And you would think, okay, how Paul is going to bring up some people and he's going to name some people. And if you think, who's Paul going to mention first? He's got to mention Timothy because he was a partner and he does mention Timothy, but it's not at the beginning. He mentions him in the middle of this chapter, and you've got to think, well, maybe he mentions Peter and all of that, but he doesn't mention Peter first. The very first person that you're going to be introduced to in the last chapter of the book of Romans is a woman by the name of Phoebe. And you don't hear about her much, you probably hadn't read about her much, but he mentions her the very first thing as he's closing out this book. And guys, listen, as you study the Scripture, there's things that just pop out at you and stand out to you, and you think, huh. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and teaching us, Paul brings out someone who's very important to him. Someone who's on his mind, someone that he's thinking about, and it's this lady named Phoebe. And let's just start off, and let's start by prayer, and then we'll get going. Father, I need your help this morning. You would hide me behind the cross. And that, God, you would be center. Let me to be a servant to preach and teach your word. And Lord, over the next few minutes, that as we open up the Scriptures, you would open up our heart. You'd open up our mind. You'd open up our eyes. You'd open up our ears to hear and see what the Scripture says. Not what our opinion says, but what your word says. Lord, I am excited this morning to finish this chapter. So many times we overlook this chapter, and it is very important. It is so weighty and so encouraging. So let us not quickly go through it, but let us expound upon it. Many times when we look at the Romans, we always go to Romans 3 or Romans 9 or Romans 8. But oh, Romans 16 is so rich. So Father, be with your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. He is making a stand and he's making a statement about Phoebe. And he's longing to be in Rome. And this letter is written to the church at Rome. And Phoebe is going to be the one who's going to be going ahead. And he's preparing them for her coming. And he says, I commend to you her as she comes. And so you are to accept her and you are to take her in and you are to be her brother and sister in Christ as she is your sister in Christ. And he is making this very clear that I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centuria. This word deacon here is the same word that's used, diakonos. It is the same word that means servant. It is the same word that means dirty-footed one. It is the same word that means to be a waiter of tables. And he brings about Phoebe as one who is a servant of the Lord, who is a waiter of the tables. And you're going to see that everywhere that Paul went, and we don't know much about her, whether he led her to the Lord personally or whether she came to Christ in one of the churches that was planted there, but we do know that he is calling her a servant of the Lord. I don't want us to be misguided on other things. I want us to see this word is servant. As a believer in Christ, you and I are called first to be servants. We're called first to be dirty-footed ones. We're to be waiters of tables. We don't come within the church looking to be served, but we look how we can serve. And that's why when we get in Scripture and we begin to read it, it begins to read us. And we have to ask ourselves the question, do I come to church to serve? Do I come to church to be a part of the body and look to how I can wait on others to advance the kingdom? To glorify God? He's preparing and blazing a trail for Phoebe to go forward. And more than likely, Phoebe was one that was going to be carrying the book of Romans. As he begins to finish this book, it would be Phoebe probably that was going to carry this book to the church at Rome. That is how important she is. That she is entrusted with the book of Romans to be carried for others to read. And so he is preparing that way. He is blazing that trail. And look what he says in verse 2. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help that she may need from you. Make sure that you receive her. Do not close the door on her. You open the door on her and make sure that as she comes, you try to meet every need that she has. I am commending you to do this because it is important. Again, we read this and sometimes we think that that's then, it's not now, but it's also now as it was then. You and I are the same today, that we are to receive people, we are to love people, we are to meet their needs. And it says, give her any help that she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. She hasn't just helped me. She is a helper to help others. We're called church to be a helper to other people. We're to make sure that we are servants to others that need us. And she was so important that she was the first one that he would bring up. And he's preparing this way to be a helper. And she was a benefactor. More than likely, she was well known. And more than likely, she was a new believer, a new convert that was coming into her faith and growing in her faith. And she is serving not only Paul, but she is serving everyone. Things that I didn't have, she was the benefactor of. She would help me in every way. And then he goes on, and I love this because I want to ask you this question too. Who is your circle of friends? Who is the people in your life that are going to help you grow? Who are the people that you are helping grow in your life? Sometimes we're standoffish or we get off to ourselves and we don't think that we need anyone. I'm telling you that within the body of Christ, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. That you need others and we need others and we need each other and we need the body of Christ. And we're going to see here, maybe for the first time, because if I would have asked you earlier, who was Paul's circle of friends, many of us would say Timothy, of course. He was a partner of Peter and some of these. But we're going to see Paul's circle of people. And he's going to encourage the church to greet them and to greet them and to greet them. And many times, if we're not careful, we will skip over this chapter because it's almost like the genealogies. And let me just say, genealogy is important. But here he's talking about greeting. And let's look here. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm going to butcher some of these names. And if you laugh at me, I'm going to call you up here to now. And I'm kidding you. I'm going to butcher some of them. It's not like the names of, you know, Joe and John. It's not any of these. These are hard names. So bear with me as we go through these. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ. I want you to greet them because they help me. We are doing this together. We're in this together. Y'all know, as a church, we're in this together, right? You don't come to church and say, well, that's your job, that's your job. We're in this together. We are the body of Christ. And he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. They risk their lives for me. Are we willing to risk our lives for someone else that we care so much about because they are loving Christ and they are taking the gospel somewhere else? You see, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about a sacrifice. He's talking about sacrificing of their life. He's talking about sacrificing of their time, of their talents. He's talking about sacrifice. So accept them, greet them. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. And so as they come, I want you to greet them. I want you to honor them. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet the church that meets at their house. You know that church isn't just a building that you go to. You are the ecclesia. You are the church of God. And if you meet in a small group at someone's house, you are the body. You don't stop being the body when you go out of these doors. You go out of these doors being the body of Christ, the shining light of Jesus wherever you go. And whenever you meet, you are meeting as the body of Christ. And he says, greet them. Greet those who meet at Priscilla and Aquila's house. Greet my dear friend, Apentius, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Oh, I love that. He knew he was the first convert. He knew he was the first one who come to faith in Christ Jesus. And he's been watching him grow. And he says, you greet him in the Lord. You greet him. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. What? Who have been in prison with me. You greet them. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Before I ever came, they already were in Christ Jesus. You are to greet them. We're seeing his circle of influence. We're seeing the people that he was serving with. He said, "A greet Amplitius, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Statius. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ withstood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Artisibulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphonus, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." I don't know about you, but I find that pretty neat. In this chapter alone, he's going to name around 40 people that they are to greet in the Lord. And there is this one who is like a mother to him. I have those in my life that are like a mother to me. And one of them is Kazi O'Shaw. She is like a second mother to me. Now, she doesn't take the place of my mother, but she was like my mother. And she still is. Still checks on me. You see, there are kids. And let me just say adults too. That maybe the father or the mother was absent. Or maybe they were present and they're no longer here, and then there's someone else who's come in just to kind of be that mother figure to you. Someone that you care about. Someone that you entrust. Many times we as the church, we think that we are just this little bitty part. No, we're bigger than that, because there are kids who need a father figure in their life. There are kids who need a mother figure in their life. And so therefore, church, we are to expand our thinking and to be a mother to those who don't have one, or to those who are absent in their life. There is someone who came to Paul and was like a mother to him. There are young men who need a father figure in their life. Maybe not always just to teach the Bible to them, but to maybe to help them change the oil. To maybe help them to do this or to do that. You see, that's where the church comes in. And if we're not careful, that's where the church fails. Is that we come and go instead of greeting each other in the Lord. You know, we are a family. We are a body of Christ. And I find this very interesting that in this chapter, he's talking about greeting. Greet so-and-so in the Lord. Greet so-and-so in the Lord. Greet so-and-so in the Lord. He's saying, commend them, take them in. If we're not careful, church, we're not greeters. Can I just say this? That every single person in the body of Christ is a greeter. You and I are to greet one another in the Lord, whether it be at our pew, whether it be at our door, or whether it be at those doors. We're to come into this church greeting. The last thing that we should do as a church is sit down. But many times the first thing we want to do is come in and sit down and wait for someone to come to us. I hear this all the time. I just don't know everybody. Why? If you ask me that, I'm going to come back and say, why? I want you to know that. And you know what your response is going to be? Well, I don't get around like I should. Why? Why not? The last thing that we should do is come in and sit down. The first thing that we should do is come in and greet people and meet people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to stretch you. Well, you may say, well, that's not my personality. Okay. It's not your personality to meet someone. It's not your personality to talk to someone. It's not your personality to open up to someone or welcome them. God has called us to greet. I mean, Paul is bringing it about. Greet them. Welcome them. Can you imagine a new visitor coming in, sitting down, and no one coming over and greeting them? No one ever coming over and meeting them? That's not the body of Christ. I challenged the first service. Well, you could tell they were just squiggling. Is that you meet two or three new people every week. Get out of your comfort zone. Introduce yourself. It goes a long way when we get out of our circle. A lot of times we come in and we sit in the same place. We talk to the same people. And we don't know anyone across the other aisle. We don't know anyone up in the balcony. When's the last time y'all been to the balcony? I'm just throwing that out there, okay? So I'm encouraging us here, and it's important because Paul is saying, greet, 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 greet. What happens when a church begins to come together and begins to meet people and greet people in the Lord? It becomes a beautiful thing. And you say to me, well, that's just hard for me. I know. But you see, God stretches us. And you begin to grow when you begin to get stretched in a lot of areas. It's not like anyone's asking you to teach. Just talking about just shaking someone's hand and saying, we're so glad to see you. My name is so-and-so. If that's too hard, you might need to just stay in home and never go out of your house. Because you meet people every day on the outside. I'm talking about within the inside of the body of believers. And let me just say this. I'm wound up this morning. I was talking to the 8 o'clock service, and there's like 50 people, 60 at the most. I said, listen, if you want to meet some new people every now and then, I know you love your 8 o'clock service, but every now and then switch it up and go to 10 and mess them up. And go and meet some more people. And I want to challenge you, 10 o'clock, every now and then, go to the 8 o'clock and meet some new people. I mean, Nick loves it so much, he goes to both. Enjoy. I mean, that's getting in there that, hey, Sunday morning, I'm going to go meet them at both services. I'm going to 8, I'm going to Sunday school, and I'm going to 10, and I'm going to meet people. And I'm going to greet them in the Lord. Why? Because it's important that we do that. Okay, I'm done with that. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncius, Philegon, Hermas, Protobas, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters in them. Greet Philogius, Julia, Norius, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to shake a hand or a knuckle bump. Get to know someone's name. All the churches are of Christ. Send greetings. And then he changes here. I want you to see this. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division. I urge you to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Stay away from those people who cause division. You know those people who are always stirring up trouble, who are always causing dissension. The Bible says to stay away from them. Hurt people hurt people. Changed people change people. If someone is gossiping, get away from it. Someone is saying something they shouldn't say. Get away from it. Don't be a part of that. That's Paul's charge to them. Get away from those who are always stirring up some dissension, putting obstacles in the way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. It says, keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ. But they're serving their own appetite. Paul's theme in most all of his epistles are to be a servant. He says you're to be a bondservant. Literally a bondservant. A bondservant is someone who has been set free, but yet they continue to serve out of love for their master. Set free from what? From the penalty of sin. And now you serve the Lord. Serving the Lord doesn't mean being first. Serving the Lord means being last. Serving the Lord doesn't mean living for yourself. Serving the Lord means dying to yourself. Being a servant of the Lord, it's not about feeding your own appetite, your wants, your desires. This is what I want in a preacher. This is what I want in a song director. This is what I want to hear. This is the music I like. Do you know what splits a lot of churches is songs? Is music? My number one question is, does it glorify God? If it doesn't glorify God and it's man-centered, toss it. But if it uplifts Christ, whether it was written last week or whether it was written 500 years ago, does it glorify God? Amen. That is what you look for. Not the tone, but the words. Does it glorify God? Because if not, we're not careful. We want to feed our own appetite. And he said, don't be around those who are always wanting to feed their own appetite. You know why? Because they're never satisfied. You can never satisfy them. If they want this now, they're going to want this later. And so therefore, they're never satisfied. Look for those and hang around those who are servants of the Lord, who come to church not looking to be served, but look, how can I serve? How can I hold an umbrella and bring someone in the dry? How can I be a servant, a dirty-footed one? Keep away from them. Such people are not serving the Lord Christ, but their own appetite. By what? By smooth talk and flattery. They deceive the minds of naive people. They deceive the minds of naive people. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I can be naive. My wife even tells me that. So you're naive. My wife has really good discernment. I mean it. And a lot of wisdom there allows me to throw up. Because sometimes sometimes I could be naive. Because I always try to give someone the benefit of the doubt of things. But then there's that discernment there that stands out that says, And I am so thankful for her in my life to be able to work alongside me in the kingdom and in the family to be able to discern those things. And he says that watch out for those who come in with flattery talk. Be careful of them. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good. I want you to be wise about what is good. How are we to be wise about what is good? Well, the Word of God brings about our wisdom to understand the heart of God, to know what is right and what's wrong. How are you going to know what is good if you're not in the Word of God? How are you going to be able to discern those things? You have to be in the Word of God to be able to discern those things that are good and those things that aren't. And that's what he's saying to the wise about what is good and to the innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. I love this part. I've read this a bunch of times, but this threw me and I like it. I like it all. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Under whose feet? Under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Do you know what our greatest need here is, church? Our greatest need here at Waldo Baptist Church is for the hand of God to be on us. Amen. Our greatest need is for the hand of God to be on you, not only here at church, but in your family. That we need God. There's many times that I pray, God, I need you. I need you above me. I need you beside me. I need you behind me. I need you under me. I need you all around me. Lord, there's so many times I'm so naive. I don't see things. God, I need you. And I need your hand of protection, and I need your favor to go before me. And we all need that in our lives. So, and he says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And now, verse 21, he mentions Timothy halfway through this chapter. Many of us, if we would have had a test, okay, who's Paul going to mention at the first of this chapter? Many of you would say Timothy, of course. It was Phoebe, and now he brings in Timothy. Timothy, my co-worker. I mean, they're working together. I mean, we can glean from that. We're in this together right now. We're in this gospel, kingdom-driven thing together about lifting up Christ, okay? Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sophistophar, my fellow Jews. Now, this is good. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Well, I thought Paul wrote this. Paul spoke this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Tertius wrote it down as he was speaking. More than likely, and some theologians like Josephus say, that Paul's eyesight was so bad that he had to have someone else read to him and write things down. And so we had here someone who was writing down his words. In verse 23, and Gaius, whose hospitality and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city director of public works. Man, the public works guy's coming in. Isn't that cool? And our brother Quartus send their greetings. And look how he finishes. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden from ages past. He's closing. He's closing with the gospel. Paul is great about bringing and starting the gospel and closing with the gospel and interwinding the gospel with everything. He says, look, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden long past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to obedience that comes from what? Not by works. Not by good deeds, but by faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Paul is bringing about at the end the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gospel that was hidden for ages has now come to light in the person of Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, how were they saved? Jesus had not yet died, where they were looking forward through the prophets of the coming of the Son of God, who is going to die on a cross for the sins of the world. How was Abraham justified? He was justified by faith. Amen. Not by circumcision, because he had already had faith. Not by works. It was by faith. And so they look forward to the cross. How are we saved today? We look back to the cross. In the finished work of what Jesus Christ did for us and did for you. He took all your mess He took, let me just be very specific, He took all your sin upon Himself, and He died a death that was meant for you. It should have been you on the cross. And it should have been me on the cross. But it was Jesus. That death, that punishment, that wrath should have been ours. By His wounds we are healed. How are we not the most grateful people on the face of the earth after what Jesus did for us? How dare us think it's all about us? It is all about Christ. From beginning to end, it is all about Christ. I encourage you today not to live your life for you, but to live your life for the one who died for you. Greet each other in the Lord. Give each other more grace. The grace that Christ gave you. Forgive people the way that Christ forgave you. Love people the way that Christ loved you. Be that example starting today. No matter what you've grown up in, no matter what you've been through, make today that day that you're going to live for Christ and you're going to proclaim Him everywhere you go and you're going to greet people in the Lord. And you're going to be a part of the body like you've never been before. You're never too young to serve. You're never too old to serve. Let's pray. Father, thank You once again for the book of Romans. Oh, and I thank You how You ended it. What a challenge. Lord, to be honest, we don't meet people like we should. We don't greet people like we should. We don't talk to people like we should. Honestly, sometimes we come in, we sit down, and we go. Only to do it all over again next week. I pray that today would be the start of coming in, and the last thing we do is sit down. As a matter of fact, we go straight into worship and we keep standing. And Lord, let us greet our brothers and sisters in the Lord and talk to them. Don't let us sit down. Impress upon our heart all week about the families that we're going to meet. And let us pray for them ahead of time. Let us be so gospel-minded that we don't even think about ourselves. We love You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.